You know, oxymorons are, you know, two words that when you put them together, they actually mean something opposite or contrasting that. You know, when you use them side by side, they tend to have a different meaning. So, for example, you can have, you know, oxymorons like, you know, liquid gas, or a fine mess, or free trade, or unbiased opinion, or affordable housing, you know, or maybe detailed summary. You understand what I mean? Awfully good, random order, small crowd. You know, but the one that troubles me the most, and I'm going to leave it to you, is adult meal. Amen? Yeah, that will take you a whole day before you get it. You know, there are some oxymorons described in the passage we read this morning. And it relates to the central figure. Not just the central figure for this chapter or for the book of Revelation, but the central figure for our faith. It relates to Jesus Christ. And there are actually like a couple of declarations made about him in the passage that we read in Revelation chapter 5. You know, that when you place them side by side, they tend not to make sense too much. The chapter begins with the scene in heaven and with God the Creator sitting majestically upon his throne. The Bible says that in his hand there was a scroll and there are writings on both sides of the scroll and it was sealed with seven seals. And a call goes forth, you know, for someone to open the scroll, but it says that there was no one in heaven, but not just in heaven, there was no one on earth, no one even under the earth that was worthy to open the scroll. You know, John understands the enormous significance of the scroll. And so he says that, and I begin to weep at the terrible calamity that will befall mankind if no one is able to open the scroll. But he says, but just as he started to weep and weep, he says, he heard a voice that says to him, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed." Please tap your neighbor on the shoulder for me and say, "The Lion of the tribe of Jesse has triumphed." You know, I know it is communion, and it is not like the exact message you hear from me every communion. But I want you to know that in every situation of your life, the Lion has already triumphed. No, you don't get it. Many times we act as if when we come against our problem that the Lion of the tribe of Judah will begin to think whether we should triumph or not. Revelation says that, you know, there was no one able to open the scroll, but it says, "Do not weep." In the situation that you have wept about this week, it says that, "Do not weep," because the Lion has already triumphed. It is not an afterthought. It is not that the Lion is might triumph. It is not that he may come true. It is not that he may perhaps he will do it. It says the Lion has triumphed. I wish someone would live with that assurance today. But it doesn't stop there. John then heard, was being told that the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. That which there was no one found worthy in all of creation able to open, John was being assured that the Lion is able to open it. And I want you to know that if you're here today and there are some situations that you think that there is no one who can do it in your life, I bring you news that the Lion of the tribe of Judah is able to do those things. That which was closed by seven seals, which no one could open, it says that the Lion of the tribe of Judah is able to open it. And John immediately turns to see this great Lion that has just been described to him. And you know, I believe that he is expected to see Jesus, the Lion, tearing down the seals off from the scroll with his great claws and revealing the contents of the scroll. But you know, it is in this scene that we see the first contrasting image. This is where we see the first oxymoron that John the Revelator tells us about. You know, because when John looked, he says he did not see a lion. Instead, what did he see? He saw a lamb. So how can the lion of the tribe of Judah also be the lamb? What an oxymoron. And what a shock it must have been for John to look for this great lion only to see a lamb. And in fact, the word in the Greek that was used for the lamb was not just a, you know, like a big lamb. It was a word for a pet lamb. A very vulnerable lamb. This innocent lamb. You know, when John looks, he says, the innocent lambs that he saw, he says, and I saw as it were a lamb that had been slain. This lamb has death wounds. In fact, an accurate reading of Jesus' description will be a slaughtered or a slain lamb. It is graphic. John would have immediately associated this lamb with the Passover lamb. It will certainly evoke the words to John the Baptist, who referred to Jesus as, behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. An innocent lamb. Oh, death might have evoked, death might have evoked on Jesus, you know, this lamb. But, you know, John the Revelator says that it is not just the lamb, it is also the lion of the tribe of Judah. And this is where I've picked the oxymoron for our message today, victorious defeat. You see, this victory certainly appeared to be a defeat. Because the lamb was slain. But it is in the act of being slain that the lion of, you know, that the lamb became the lion. Is someone with me today? It is in the act of giving himself that Jesus, the Lamb of God, you know, who was slaughtered for us, also became the triumphant lion. If he had not allowed himself to die, he would have remained the Lamb of God. But Jesus not only died, the Bible says that he rose, and in rising in victory, through his defeat, in becoming victorious, he became the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You know, think about when he died on the cross. It appeared that it was an act of weakness. You know, but in this simple act, in this, you know, yet seemingly weak act, God showed us that there is strength and there is victory. The Bible says that he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Such willingness to submit himself to weakness revealed great power. You know, many times we feel that it is when we show those who are offending us that we have a word for them. We think that is when we are strong. I want you to know today that you are stronger when you are offended and you can keep quiet. You are a much stronger person when somebody messes you about and they speak evil against you, and you know, you look at them and you say, I forgive you. You are a much stronger person when somebody steps on your feet, you know, and instead of retaliating or reacting, you say to them, it is okay, go in peace. And verse 6 says, then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. And this is where I want us to see the second oxymoron for this message. It says, I saw the lamb looking as if it had been slain. The lamb that was slain is alive. Is someone with me today? The lamb that was slain is alive. How can something that is dead be alive? In this second set of contrasting image, the slain lamb stands and he walks. It is not dead, but living and authoritative. The sacrifice is alive and it is well. I want you to know that the sacrifice for your life is not still dead. The sacrifice is alive. The sacrifice for your life is relevant. You know, the blood and the body of Jesus that have been broken and shed for you is still able, even in the 21st century, to bring you forgiveness. Even in this day and age, the blood of Jesus is still setting sinners free. Even in this day and age, the sacrifice that was made, you know, about 2,000 years ago is still giving joy and peace to people. The sacrifice is still relevant, even in this day and age. Tell your neighbor for me, the sacrifice is enough. And you know, the Bible teaches us that God has a plan for human history. And his plan is revealed throughout the Bible. Nowhere is it more clear than in the book of Revelation. It says in verse 15, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and it shall reign forever and ever. This is God's plan for us, my friends, that not only will we go through life, you know, with all the challenges that we have to face, but each time as we remember the body and the blood of Jesus that was shed for us, and we appropriate his sacrifice unto our life, it says that then we can be assured that the kingdom of our world has become the kingdom of our Lord, and it shall reign forever and ever. Oh, saints, I just love to read the word of God. Now, the beautiful thing about this passage is that it is so personal. It is so meaningful for us. You see, Jesus' victory assures us that victory can become our own. Because he overcame, we can overcome. No wonder in Revelation 5, verse 9, the Bible says, and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seal, because you are slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Oh, because with his blood he purchased men for God. I want you to know that the sacrifice had already been made. The price had already been paid. It doesn't matter whether you are from Africa or from Australia, from Europe or from America, the same blood was paid for every man, no matter where you come from. It says you purchased men. Purchasing shows that a price was paid. I want you to know that the price has been paid over your head. Someone had paid the price over your head. There is no need for you to pay another price. As I wrap up today, I want to tell us a story which some of us will know. On October 30, 1974, Muhammad Ali and George Foreman squared off in the boxing ring in Zaire. Muhammad Ali dubbed it the Rumble in the Jungle. Foreman was heavily favored and considered to be the hardest puncher in heavyweight history. Ali did something in that fight that no other fighter had ever dared to try. He held up his arms against his face and he leaned back against the rope, allowing Foreman, the heaviest puncher in history, to punch away at him for 8 rounds. For 8 rounds, Ali was against the rope and Foreman was punching away and punching away. The strongest boxer in history beat on Ali until he could punch no more. When the right moment came, Ali bounced off the ropes and knocked out Foreman, sending him into retirement. Ali called his technique rope-a-dope. You know, even though it looked like he was losing the fight and losing very badly, he was in control all the time. He took all those punches because he knew that he was going to deliver the final blow. Oh, my friends, God used and God is still using the rope-a-dope technique on the world of evil.
it may appear that the enemy has been giving you some blows, just like the enemy thought he was giving Jesus some blow at the cross. Oh, he thought that he was beating the Son of God to death. He thought that there was no recourse to victory in the life of Jesus. But just when Satan thought that he had Jesus all down and out, finished and dead, the Bible says that my Jesus rose up from the dead. Is someone with me today? Oh, today I need you to understand that appearances are deceiving. Seeing is not believing. Things are not always as they appear to be. The lamb is the lion. The lion is the lamb. And the sacrificed one is still living forever and ever. Oh, I want you to know, my friend, that the battle is already completed on your behalf. And I want you to know that even in the moment of your worst defeat, when the enemy thinks that he's got you down and out, you can reach out through the blood of Jesus and you can claim the victory that has already been made available because of his blood. Oh, because of his blood. No wonder the Bible then says that all the living creatures in heaven and the elders, they began to proclaim in a loud voice, and they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." I wonder if there's someone in the house who would like to declare with me today, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Friends, today is Communion Sabbath. And I welcome you to your victorious defeat. I want you to know that Jesus, the lamb-like lion, the living sacrifice of God, has brought unto us victory and life. So as we partake of communion today, I want you to open up your hearts to what he can do in your life. And I want you to know that it doesn't matter the defeat of last quarter. As we start on a new journey, you are victorious in every area. Please tell three people around you for me, you are victorious. Three people. Praise the Lord.
Amen. The lamb that was slain, the same became the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. We want to thank the Lord for that ministration. Pastor, thank you for that message.